Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio information and entertainment. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Sign up today for a free audiobook and a free, absolutely, positively free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/PWP radio. Remember, please include that /PWP radio so they know that we sent you. Once again, audibletrial.com/PWP radio.
Welcome to Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio at blogtalkradio.com. You can interact with the show by calling 760-888-5749 or use the hashtag PWPRadio on Twitter. Here are your hosts, Jay Leno and Will TLD Vafidez.
Welcome to Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio, episode number 64, and man, am I excited. As always, it's your host, Jay Aletto, Jersey Strong Jay in the house right here at the one, the only, the Jersey Shore. And tonight's a huge night. Jake the Snake Roberts is joining us, and without further ado, let's get right to it. I'd like to bring in the one, the only, the incomparable Jake the Snake Roberts. Jake, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Man, how are you doing tonight? Thank you so much for coming on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio.
Doing great, man. Feeling great. Every day is a new journey. You know, lots of things that are coming up that I can't talk about, but just be careful what you hope for, because you might just get what you want.
I love it. I love it. I saw you recently up here in Jersey at Pro Wrestling Syndicate, and I got to say, you look great. You seemed like you were in great spirits. You even unleashed a couple of DDTs for the crowd that night. And it just seemed like you were having a good time. Can you give us a little bit of insight about your experience up here in New Jersey at Pro Wrestling Syndicate?
Well, I had a great time. I mean, you know, coming back after the journey I've been through, man, I mean, you know, I went all the way off the deep end in such a dark, horrible place. And then to rebound and become resurrected and step back out of it is amazing enough. But to have the opportunity to get back into the ring, the one thing that I truly loved, you know, my whole life, and have that opportunity to go out and perform and be in front of the fans and feel that itch and feel that twitch again, man, it doesn't get any better than that. They had great crowds up there. It was fun being around the fans, talking to the fans, enjoying my time with them, taking photos, signing pictures, whatever. It's just, it's a wonderful place I live in right now, man.
That's what it's all about. And it's very great to have you on the show tonight. And I know you're kicking off your own radio show soon enough. I know you have one episode up that you can find on jakethesnakeroberts.com. Snake Radio. Tell us a little bit about Snake Radio and what the future holds for that show.
Well, if I know. I don't know what's going to happen on there. I try not to think about it. If I think about it, I overthink it. So I got people that think about it. Kyle, my the host, he does a good job and tries to keep me reeled in. Good luck with that. We've got a beautiful young lady on there, Chelsea. She's awesome, quick-witted. quick to bust my chops, which probably needs to be done occasionally. And we got a piece of young talent on there, Dylan, who is also a wrestler. And, you know, we just ask questions to each other, and we put a topic out there, and we beat it up, we chew it up, we spit it out, and we find something else to look at. Sometimes we talk about the past. Sometimes we talk about what's going on today. Sometimes we don't even talk about wrestling. We talk about something else, you know, whether it be addiction or what's going on in the world or, you know, just any and everything, man. It's just a hot bed of whatever you want. And I think we'll keep it that way because, you know, it's good to talk about things to help other people. And, you know, I've discovered in lately that I suffer from depression. You know, I just I didn't realize that. I just thought it was because, you know, drinking and drugs. Well, yeah, maybe there was a reason for, you know, there's no reason to do drugs and alcohol, but there was a reason I was turning that way because there's something mentally a little twisted up there for me. It needed a chemical imbalance that wasn't right. And we've talked about that extensively on the show. And hopefully it's helped some other people realize, hey, maybe they're not crazy and maybe it, maybe they have something they need to look into.
Well, that's definitely a great thing because helping others is the way to go. That's what I'm trying to do right now by having you on the show. I want to help get your brand out there to more people and help have people hear from you firsthand about everything that's going on right now with Jake the Snake Roberts. And you've got a lot going on. Like you mentioned before, well, you mentioned that Kyle, he hit me up and I was talking to him a little bit and he's great on communicating through email. He was awesome, Jake.
Yeah.
And he told me that you have some stuff in the works as far as maybe a comic book coming out with working with the Savannah College of Art and Design. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. Well, these guys, man, you know, Kyle had a buddy, his attempts to be a professor there that, you know, Kyle is doing this MMA stuff. You know, he just loves getting beat up. But the professor up there is actually into it also. And, you know, and they just tossed it out there to see if these guys wanted to give it a shot, you know, and they put teams of three out there. I think there's 30 or 35 teams of three that went about coming up with the concept of what Jake the Snake would be in a cartoon character. And there were some that were pretty interesting. There were a couple that were pretty horrifying. One of my least favorite was they were allowed to use myself and Hacksaw Jim Duggan and Diamond Dallas Page. And the one that I was horrified most about was Hacksaw Jim Duggan and I becoming life partners. That was pretty scary. The visual on that just makes me twinge. But that one did not win. There's some very fun to look at, but no, that's not going to happen. But we've gotten involved with DC Comics. They wanted to become involved with it. And we've got a few ideas that we're stretching and twitching and pulling on and seeing what comes out of it. We've got a great opportunity to, you know, I've written a book. I've got 600 pages into a book, actually. And it's 600 pages, and I've just started into the WWE. That tells you that the book's going to be pretty thick. And instead of going with a book the size that weighs 50 pounds, I think what we're going to have to do is we're going to break this into three parts and be like a trilogy type thing, you know. And maybe the first book will be about the early years of Jake the Snake before I got to the WWF. And then maybe the next segment will be the WWF years. And the last segment, of course, will be the now. And, you know, I'm doing movies now. I'm doing voiceovers and stuff. I'm part of the thing called the Lucas Brothers Moving Company where they've got a Jake the Snake character on there. It's pretty pretty strange, pretty weird. He owns a wrecking yard and tow truck service. His thing is snatching cars. And then before the owners can get down there to bail them out, he likes to have them crushed because it's a sexual thing. Which is pretty weird, but, you know, it's going to go on after Family Guy, I remember it is, on Fox, so it's in a good spot. A couple of movies I've done, Heavy Water is awesome. looking forward to seeing that in the next few months. I've got another zombie flick that I did. We had a blast. I did that out in Arizona about a year and a half ago. But some of these filmmakers, you know, they're doing it on their own time, man. And it takes time to put this stuff together. And, you know, I'm just patiently waiting and hoping. And, you know, we'll see when I get that Oscar. Maybe next year. No, not this year.
Wow, Mr. Roberts, you really have a full plate right now, and that's awesome considering the fact that, you know, a lot of wrestlers, they don't really have as much stuff going on this late in their career, into their journey, and this is really awesome to hear.
Well, I tell you, I wouldn't either, but my buddy Kyle has built a fire under me, and Diamond Dallas Page, of course, you know, he saved my life, man. You know, help me get clean and sober, and you know, that's not a fight that that I've won. That's one that I still have to fight daily. And you know, there's been some slip ups in the past, nothing lately, thank God. And you know, it's frustrating because at times, man, you get haters out there, man, and they say horrible things about you, and you know, once you get clean and sober, man, you start to listen to people and you start to take what they say to heart. And, you know, at 58, it sucks that I found out that I do have a soft spot in me, man, and that I do feel pain, and that pain goes deep. And when you're trying to struggle to stay clean and you have people try to get under your skin, they do a damn good job of it, and they do hurt me. And you know, I'm trying to work and not listen to that and realize that, you know what, Jake, you're not the only asshole in the world. There's one more out there, and he's just talking about you right now. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it really roughs you up, you know. I mean, it's so sad that this world is so full of hate. And there's so many people out there that you know, they're so bored with their own lives, they have to reach out and say something ugly about somebody else. You know, I just don't have time for it. And unfortunately, the Internet allows that to happen, and nobody has to be accountable for anything they say or do. And that's what I see wrong with the Internet. You know, I still struggle with a rotary phone, so that's where I'm at with my savvy on that stuff. So I trust Kyle to look over a lot of it. He's the younger man, and he knows all the dings and bangs and buttons to push and how to get things done. And he's a go getter. He's a great friend. You know, we just bumped into each other at a gym of all places. You know, and that's where it began. And I brought him over to Dallas, and of course, my time with Dallas. Dropping the 70 pounds has certainly helped my life a lot. And, you know, it's just, I got a mixed bag of tricks, man. A real mixed bag. You know, I've got a lot of things in front of me, and hopefully I'll stick my hand in the right one and it'll work. And in the next few days, we're expecting some big things to happen and develop, and we'll let the world know as soon as we can.
Absolutely. That's what I'm all about, you know. The positivity. A lot of fans wanted me to come on here and talk to you about the past, and I got a lot of questions from, you know, I have a presence on Facebook, got a lot of questions there, but I'm gonna take one that's a positive question for you, Mr. Roberts, and it's from a very big fan of yours. His name's Alex Volpe. He's a member of our community, and he basically says that you're a master in professional wrestling psychology and have taught some of the most successful stars in the business, and he wants to know if you've ever thought about going across the country and teaching the inner workings of pro wrestling psychology to some of the new up-and-coming wrestlers in seminars and whatnot.
Well, I'd love to do that, you know, but it takes a lot of footwork, and my feet don't move that fast anymore, man. So somebody, you know, it's an idea that I would love to do. I would love to share the knowledge that I have, you know, and it's actually not a choice. Something I should be doing regardless, because, you know, I accumulated the knowledge that I have over the years, and I've learned it from a lot of great talent that are no longer available. And you know, I'd like to be sharing what I know. I'd love an opportunity at WWE to help their talent. God knows they need it. There's nobody out there that can. I mean, Dory Funk Jr. once told me that if you quit learning, the best thing for you to do is to take your tights off and your boots off, put them in a pile, spray them with some lighter fluid, and burn the damn thing, because if you quit learning in the ring, then you don't deserve to be out there anymore. And I still learn when I go out there. Most of the time these days I learn, look out for that young guy because he hadn't got a clue. That's what I learned. But, you know, I would love to share that knowledge. It just takes the right opportunity and the right time for somebody to put something together. You know, I've thought about opening up a school, but I just don't know that I'd have the patience to do it because, you know, at 58, man, I see these young guys today that have gone to schools and they've been ripped off. They think they know something by going out there and doing 200 moves, and they know absolutely nothing. And cleaning house out of that brain would be a tough job because these guys think they know these things. And, you know, it doesn't take a great wrestler to go out there and jump off of a 20-foot cage onto his head. It takes a fool. And that's something, you know, I just don't agree with. I don't agree with the hardcore stuff. You know, wrestling's worst enemy is wrestlers. And when you go out there and you clothesline a guy four times, you do this, that, and the other, you DDT this guy two times, and hell, you beat him with a schoolboy, something's wrong with this. Something is wrong with this.
Yeah.
And, you know, it disgusts me, you know, that, you know, wrestling is such a beautiful thing if it's done right, but it's so ugly when it's abused.
Do you still watch WWE, or do you have a relationship with the company at all anymore?
I don't have a relationship with them. I do have a relationship. I have a contract with them, but hopefully they'll push the button that rings my phone, and they'll invite me to the Rumble. I'm certainly getting ready for it. I'm training for it, and that's the part I can do. That stay, you know, mentally, physically right. You know, I can't make them call me, but you know, we've had a lot of fans get in behind us, and you know, they've all been pushing and asking and hoping, and maybe it will happen. If it doesn't happen, well, I guess I'll just have to try harder, maybe next year, or maybe I'll just wrestle, you know, till I build my own wrestling company and start that, or maybe I'll buy TNA. I don't know about that.
I'd love to see that happen because I. Because I'll tell you what, one thing that TNA needs is to get back to basics and they could use a creative mind like yours to actually move in that direction.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to help them tremendously, but I can't make them call me, you know. And, you know, chances are TNA and WWE that, you know, this old dog still likes to bark the same way and still likes to do the things that I feel are right. And the business has changed so much in the last 20 years that maybe my time has passed, but I don't think it has. I think there's a huge amount of people out there that they like to see wrestling done the old way. And maybe with a little luck, we'll get a chance to find out if that's true.
Any thoughts on possibly going into the WWE Hall of Fame? Because I know there's a lot of fans out there that have really been pushing for your induction, considering you're one of the all-time greats. What are your thoughts on a possible induction into the Hall of Fame?
Well, again, my phone's sitting right here. Nobody's beeping through on me, man. So, you know, that's their game, man. They own that. And, yeah, I would love to be in it. I certainly understand why I'm not in it right now. I've been pretty vocal about things that, you know, I did a lot of wrong things. You know, I abused a lot of things, man. I really screwed up, man. I had probably the greatest, I could have had the greatest career of all time with everybody. But due to my problems with drugs and alcohol, you know, I sank my own boat, man. You know, I'd like to blame you, and I'd like to blame somebody else for it. But bottom line is, I picked up that pipe, I picked up that bottle, I did this, I did that. And, you know, I want to say that, you know, I never met anybody in jail or rehab. I've been to several of each. That their dream was to grow up and become an alcoholic or an addict. It's not something you choose to do. It's something that happens to you because you make bad choices. Recovery is possible. You don't have to die like that. So there's been a lot of guys who have gone that certainly went way before their time. And, honestly, I should have been one of those guys. But I guess God is a better picture, and he just abuses himself by watching me act the ass at times. I don't know.
Well, you know, that's what it's all about, is resurrecting Jake the Snake Roberts. My co-host has a question for you. His name is Toph. Sure. He's down in the Georgia area as well. Toph, you have a question for Mr. Roberts tonight.
Hello, Mr. Roberts. It's an honor to talk to you tonight, sir.
Thank you.
There's three different promos that you've done before in the past. I believe one of them was involved with The Undertaker, another one with Ted DiBiase, The Million Dollar Man, and the last one was with Randy Savage, where you were talking about Miss Elizabeth. The promos that you've done were very captivating, and a lot of people over the years have said that if they were to do training for how to cut promos, people would say they need to watch Jake the Snake Roberts promos, and I just wonder, what did you think about that? Does that flatter you? Do you like the fact that many people like to watch your promos to learn? Because I know Stone Cold has said many times that he watched your promos, used that as a catalyst for his 316 promo.
Right. It's flattering, you know, that they say that. I wish they'd get busy and do it, because I don't hear a lot of it other than Bray Wyatt. You know, Bray's doing a fine job, I think, and he's one of the reasons I watch. I'll tell you that, you know, because I enjoy his promos. But you know, it's so easy for me. I never understood why. I mean, I didn't have anybody writing my promos, man. That stuff just flew off the top of my head, you know. And I was so gifted, and yet I abused it so much. And maybe that's the reason I got myself in trouble, is I never had to think about anything out there. It just seemed like the natural thing to do or the natural thing to say. So I didn't understand it whenever I'd go to somebody and say, well, you should have done that. And they go, oh, that's a great idea. I'm like, you didn't see that? You know, I don't know, man. Very fortunate, very blessed, and very foolish at times. And I just hope the fans can forgive me for wasting a lot. But even with all I wasted, I still get quite a bit that is worthy of watch.
So I'm still a big fan of your work, sir. There's only one more question I have left. I've heard stories about this for years. Is it true that you were supposed to work with Hulk Hogan, but due to fan reactions, it was a no-go?
Yep. I dropped him with a DDT on a set in Phoenix, Arizona, and the fans screwed me and started chanting DDT. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for answering those questions, Mr. Robert. It was talking
to
you.
No problem at all. Thank you very much.
I've always thought about that possibility of a Jake Roberts Hulk Hogan feud back then, and I was only a kid back in those days. I'm 29 years old, so I grew up a Hulkamaniac. But as soon as you turned babyface, I was definitely on the Jake the Snake train. It was kind of a deal where you were so relatable because everybody can relate to a snake, and a snake is supposed to be evil, but you were a good guy. And did you feel that turning babyface and kind of being that guy just under Hogan? It seemed like you were almost a stepping stool for the heels, going back and watching before Hogan.
That's exactly what I became. But, you know, I mean, Vince, whenever they seen that Jake was getting stronger than Hogan, that wasn't going to happen. You know, the whole company was based around Hogan. You know, that's just the way it was. It's the billions of dollars in marketing Hulk, not in inflatable snakes. So, when that incident happened, man, the thing was on right there. Okay, turn him babyface, and we'll make him a stepping stone to Hogan. So I had to get all the heels ready for it, and I appreciate that job. I could have used a little bit more money on it. because it kept me from getting the top shot at the title run, you know. And later on, they tried to get me a title run with, you know, the ultimate asshole, and that didn't work out because he got fired. And again, I got screwed. I never got that top run, you know. And bottom line is, if you're in the ring for that big belt, that's where you make the big money, you know. And so my wallet suffered, and I hated that part because, you know, it's just weird that I could go to a building and sell it out, and there'd be no titles involved. And yet, if you went to the same building with the same amount of people and you're in a title match, you'd make three times as much. Wait a minute. The same number of people are in there. What the hell? But, you know, it's not my place to decide where Vince McMahon gives the money. So, you know, I'm very grateful to the McMahons and the WWE for, to this day, they still pay for my therapy, and I still take advantage of that. They did send me to a couple of rehabs, which did not work, but at least they tried, you know, and that's what I can say for a lot of people.
Absolutely, and you're going to continue to help out people because I heard that you're exploring to start an MS Foundation. I want to spread that word a little bit for you. Tell the fans about this MS Foundation.
Well, it's just something that's in the works. I got to hold on to that one for a little while until we get it all set up. But that's just another dream. My daughter suffers from MS and other problems. But you know, if everybody in the world would just take a moment and help one other person, this world would be a whole lot better place, man. You know, and, you know, I've been through a lot, and I go around and I see a lot of things I don't like, and, I love kids, man, and I go to shows and I see kids that, you know, maybe should have a little more time spent with them, and that takes me to a bad place because I was guilty of not spending enough time with my own children, and then I see, kids that are, you know, mentally challenged, man. Those are my favorite. Those are the sweetest kids in the world. They haven't got a mean bone in their body or jealous bone in their body. And I like to spend a little extra time with them. Sometimes I get to horsing around with them, and people confuse me horsing around with them as, you know, what's wrong with Jake? He's acting funny over there, you know. Maybe he's drinking again. Well, no, it's not. I'm just being silly with kids. You know, kids that, they need a break. And, you know, they're the first ones. I give them the free photos, the free T-shirts. I give it all to them, man, because, you know, they didn't ask for that deck of cards, you know. And then you get the ugly people out there in the world that want to point fingers at these kids and laugh at them because they're, you know, a little slow or a little different. You know, and I'm so sick of that crap, man. I mean, and I tell you, getting old sucks. You just start getting all callous to start getting opinions on certain things, and, you just change.
Well, Jake, before we let you go, I want to level with you for a second. I've been in this professional wrestling kind of media business for a little over a year right now, and I've had the honor of interviewing some big stars, but this is by far one of the greatest moments for me in my entire life when it comes to professional wrestling, talking to you on the phone. And I want to throw this out to you. I really want to help spread the word, not just tonight, but into the future. ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com and Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio tries to spread the positive word. And I'm a huge, huge, huge fan. And I know a lot of fans out there are going to be negative, and they'll blow smoke up your ass by saying they're huge fans. Yeah. And they're not really. I'm a big fan, and I want to help you through this and continue to spread the great word about Jake the Snake Roberts. And I really appreciate you being on the show tonight.
Well, I'll be glad to come back on and aggravate you some more as soon as I can let the monster loose about what's upcoming. You'll be the first guy I call. How's that?
You know what, Mr. Roberts, thank you so much. And before you go, I want to plug your Twitter account. You could follow Jake the Snake, the one and only, the incomparable. I have chills right now. at JakeSnakeDDT on Twitter. Please check out JakeTheSnakeRoberts.com, and just keep your ear out for all the great things that Mr. Roberts is doing in the future. Jake, thank you so much for coming on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio tonight,
sir. Thank you for allowing me on, and God bless. Just keep smiling and remember, don't be afraid to help that person right next to you.
Absolutely. Next time you're on the show, I want some road stories from you, because we love a good, fun road story.
We might do that. Well, we might tell us. I have one or two. I can probably break one out for you. All right,
Beautiful.
Bud, take care.
Thank you so much.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. Ladies and gentlemen, I still have chills right now. I'm kind of on cloud nine a little bit. Very rarely do I talk to a professional wrestler, and his words just get to me. Jake the Snake Roberts has a very, very powerful voice, and I hope everybody who's listening live tonight and who will be listening on iTunes or Stitcher or when this interview is up on YouTube can take what he said. If you listen to his words, he's got this subtle approach of throwing in life lessons throughout what he's talking about. You know, whether he gets off topic or not, he's trying to help people. That's what he's trying to do. And all the fans out there that are, you know, busting his chops on Twitter and talking negatively about Mr. Jake the Snake Roberts, you got to stop, because this guy is one of the all-time greats in professional wrestling history. And I can't thank him enough, and I was damn sincere about helping him promote his product and push it in a positive direction into the future. And love the fact that he agreed to come on the show in the future. Man, that's awesome. So we're going to get on with Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio in just a few moments. If you have any questions or comments about our interview with Jake just now, please hit me up on Twitter at PW Powerhouse. But before we go to commercial break, I want to tell you that we're continuing our greatest promo ever, and this one is from the incomparable Jake the Snake. It's a promo he cut on The Undertaker before his big match at WrestleMania 8, and I always liked it. I remember it from when I was a kid, and it's deep, it's dark, and it really shows you what Jake the Snake's about. So we'll be right back on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio.
Card at WrestleMania. You know, Jake Roberts, I'm well aware that you're familiar with the dark side, but are you familiar with the inside of a casket?
Oh, that's real funny, Gene. You know, what a wicked web we can weave when first we labor to deceive. Now, what I'm telling you is this. I've always said I was on the other side of the fence, and I ask you, oh, yeah, it's where you were at, too. You're right with me. You can't ride the edge, brother, like I can. That razor's too sharp for you. So you think about this. WrestleMania, I'm going to get what I want.
You know, I was absolutely appalled, Jake the Snake Roberts, when during the course of the funeral parlor with Paul Bear, all of a sudden, you took that steel chair and continued time and time again to pummel the back of the Undertaker.
Well, let's don't forget the fun part. Now, the fun part was slamming his hand in that casket and locking it. You see right there, you're a big rat caught in a big trap. Now, as far as me hammering you with that chair, oh, yeah, I raised that chair up high, and I cranked it. And you know something? It felt good. It felt real good. Almost as good as slapping Elizabeth. Almost. But you see, that simple foreplay, man, look at this. Watch it now. Time and time and time again, it's like teasing, you know? Hanging the meat out in front of the animal, that's all I was doing. I tasted it, but I didn't finish it. I will finish it when the time is right. Nothing premature here. I'm waiting. I'm waiting for the right time, and the right time's the Hoosier Dome. That's where it all comes apart. So crushing you with that chair was just child's play for me. Because you comes to WrestleMania, I don't play, brother. I will not play. So when the time is right, I will hook that DDT, and I'll crack your skull. The same way they would on National Geographic, Gene, nothing different. If there was a medal awarded in the Olympics for crushing seals' heads, baby seals on the ice, I would take the gold. I would take the gold. Why? It's a job that has to be done. It is a job that has to be done. And you are a job that has to be done, Undertaker. So when the time is right, yes, I'm going to hook the head and drive it straight through the mat. Big circle, big dot, that's going through. Then what will I do? Put you on the funeral pyre, brother, and turn up the gas. And if you say you know Satan so well, then you won't mind burning in hell. It's TLD.
Yeah. 4-time tag team champion. I'm curvy. I'm cute. I'm a champ.
All right, guys, we're back. Sorry about that. I put myself on mute. Toph and TLD back on the show. What do you guys think? I'll go to TLD first. TLD, what did you think about our interview with Jake the Snake Roberts tonight?
Very, very pleased with the interview. His words, what he was saying. You could feel it through the headphones. I could feel it through those headphones, what he's been going through and positive that he's doing some great things. You know, he has a great guy that's helping him out, doing some amazing stuff. And, he said he has some big stuff in the future. I'm looking forward to those announcements, and hopefully that we'll be the first to hear, and everyone will be flocking to Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. But a great interview with Jake, and he's just an awesome guy to talk to. It seems like if we get him back on, it'll be really fun.
Yeah, and I was dead serious about helping him out and promoting him in the future because, a lot of fans will – blow smoke and just tell wrestlers and mark out that they're one of their all-time favorites. But for Jake the Snake, he really is one of my all-time favorite wrestlers. And whenever I hear that theme song of his, whenever I hear that music, it always just hits me so hard. Because it just reminds me of my childhood and listening to my old WWF theme song tape. Toph, you got to talk to Jake the Snake for a moment. What were your thoughts on the interview tonight with Jake the Snake Roberts?
I thought it was a good interview. I just wish that he wouldn't be so hard on himself. There's a lot of people out there that do a lot of bad things, and, they don't really – what's the word I'm looking for? They don't repent, I guess. I think that Jake is in a lot. I think that DDP is in a lot of the DDP yoga. He's lost a lot of weight. He's made his life much better. He has a lot of future projects going on. There's a lot of negative people out there on the internet that say stuff, but, every year when, it's time for the Royal Rumble or when it's time for the Hall of Fame or, I see the same thing. I always see an overwhelming amount of positive support from fans that would like to see Jake at the Rumble one last time or they want to see him getting inducted. I understand what he's saying about the negativity, but I just hope that he can go back and listen to this and I hope that he realizes there's a lot of fans out there that, love him professionally and love him as a person. And I just wish that he wouldn't be so hard on himself,
Yeah, and I agree with that 100%. But as he was talking about, if you really listen to him, and that's the thing, if you listen to him and you read between the lines, he's giving everybody lessons when he speaks. And he's doing that. He's giving back to a lot of the fans out there and a lot of the people that do enjoy listening to him and do enjoy hearing him talk and being involved in wrestling. He did talk a bit about depression. And that's something that, people deal with. I know that I've had my bouts with clinical depression in the past. And it's tough. I never had to take any kind of pills for it. But, I've talked to doctors before, and they've said, hey, man, you might be depressed. That's why you're having these issues. But that's just a common problem. A lot of people have it. And if Jake is out there saying that, hey, I've had these addictions, and he thought that these addictions were just – because of his life and what was going on. And those were his problems. But actually, depression is a big deal. It's a clinical thing. And that promo I just played was something awesome because if you listen to it, he really was able to get the point across very, very simply. How often today do you hear any professional wrestler talk about hitting their finishing move on their opponent and finishing them for the 3 count in the middle of the ring? It's something that's so simple that it's kind of a lost art at this point. TLD, what did you think about that promo I just played from Jake the Snake?
It's just like one thing about Jake is his tone. And when you listen to the tone of him, you can tell he's being very evil, very devious, but also, whether he was a heel or a face, but I liked it better when he was more of a heel because it just fit that. It was just much more natural. It feels like, so I just enjoy the tone is what I always take away from him, how he presents himself, the way he looks at the camera, the way he, explains a story of why he's doing something, why he's doing it. But he uses a lot of it's hard to say what I'm trying to get to, where he's what he's trying to use. Like, when he talks about National Geographic and he's, like, bringing up all these different things that are just, like, they sound, they definitely make sense more, you know, it definitely makes more sense when he's explaining it. But I think, to me, it's always about his tone.
Yeah, there were sexual connotations in that promo. You know, he brought up when he smacked Elizabeth. It was so real. And like he was saying before, he didn't have any script. He never had any cue cards. It all came from the heart, man. And that isn't something that everybody has. Not everybody has the ability to do that. And I think, I truly actually believe that he can teach that skill to a lot of wrestlers that are up and coming. I like the fact that he's thought about opening a school and stuff like that and helping younger pro wrestlers. Alex Volpe's question was awesome about teaching wrestlers simple ring psychology, because who better to learn it from? Toph, any points to make about that Jake the Snake promo we just listened to?
It was just very dark, very morbid, kind of cryptic, sort of creepy, but in a kind of deliciously evil kind of way.
Deliciously evil. I like that. Deliciously evil. That might be the first time I've ever heard that. I think I feel that.
Yeah, just everything about him was different. I always remember the promo that Jake did. I always remember his feud with Randy Savage and the whole Elizabeth thing, and when he slapped her, like the way he described it, like, you know, like when I was a kid, I didn't really get it. It was one of those promos you have to kind of go back and watch when you're older, and then you get it. Like the words that he was using, you know, the sexual innuendos, like how he was saying stuff like, even I could cultivate her into something I would want. And, you know, Mean Gene was there, and he was like, stop it, you know, just really funny. It is a lost art. It is, you know. There's a few guys out there that still do stuff like that, but it's very rare. You know, Bully Ray, Kevin Steen, Bobby Roode, there's still a few guys out there, but it's definitely a dying art, and Jake the Snake is he's the originator of it, and just based off that alone, he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame someday.
No, definitely. I'm going to take a couple of listener calls right now. I don't know why I said user. Listener call from the 908 area code. That's an area code I'm pretty damn familiar with. 908, you're on the line. What's up? What's your name? Where are you from?
Yeah, this is the guy you're pretty damn familiar with anyway there, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, brother? How are you?
Good, good. I just got out of work, and I wanted to give you guys a call from what you guys are saying. It sounds like I missed a pretty awesome interview with Chick the Snake, and I can't wait to listen back to that tomorrow when it's on the website.
Yeah, it's going to be on right here. He just tweeted me a couple minutes ago, Jake the Snake did, which is another awesome thing. And I let him know that this interview is going to be on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and YouTube tomorrow morning, afternoon, somewhere around that time. I got a big job interview first thing in the morning, but right after that, I'll make sure it's up on the YouTube page and ready to go, that interview in its entirety. But Brett, man, you want to stay in the line tonight, and you want to add a little bit to our topic that we talked about last week in a couple minutes?
I'll be on for as long as you need me to.
All right, brother. I'm going to put you on. Okay, awesome. I'm going to put you on hold real quick, and I'll bring you back in a couple minutes. So just listen for now, right, man?
Absolutely.
All right, beautiful. I'm going to take another call, and this is from 405 area code. 405, you're on the line at Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. Okay, 405. Hang on. It's okay. If 405 was just calling to listen, that's awesome. I never know if somebody is just listening or if they want to talk. I don't know. Blog Talk Radio doesn't tell me. But speaking of that, guys, and TLD and Toph, I want to talk for a minute about audiobooks. Now, I don't know if you guys listen to audiobooks. I know TLD works for Apple, and you can definitely listen to audiobooks on your iPad, on your Apple devices and whatnot. But I wanted to tell everyone that right now you can get a free audiobook and a 30-day trial at audible.com/PWP radio. Audible.com is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the internet. It is a consumer service that allows users to choose the audio versions of their favorite books with a library of over 150,000 titles, guys. And you can listen to wrestling books there. I know Hulk Hogan's book is on there. Lex Luger's book. We have Lex Luger on in August. You can listen to his book. You can get Lex Luger's free audiobook by signing up for a 30-day trial with audible.com. And that URL that you want to use to sign up for a 30-day trial, this is the only one you can use. You can't use any other one. You have to use this one. audibletrial.com/PWP radio. Users can purchase individual books or for real savings can sign up for an Audible listener program, which gives them book credits each and every month for a low monthly fee. Once again, audibletrial.com/PWP radio. Toph, what do you think about audiobooks, man? Are you an audiobook guy?
I tried it one time about a year ago, actually. I was going to Atlanta to visit a friend of mine for the holidays, and he told me that he had just purchased one of Mick Foley's newest books, and I said, sure, I would like to read it. And then he told me, well, it was an audiobook, and he sort of broke down what it was. And so as we were driving, because, you know, a lot of times when you're driving interstate, you can kind of get sleepy on the wheel. So if you're not listening to anything, you can kind of doze off, and that's how a lot of accidents happen. So he got into the habit of purchasing audiobooks, and, you know, he likes to listen to different people talk, and it keeps him awake. So the whole time we were driving to Atlanta, we were just listening to the Mick Foley audiobook. I'm not exactly sure which book it was, but we were listening to the chapter where he was talking about when he lived with when he was roomed with DDP and Steve Austin back in the early WCW days in the early 90s. So they can be useful, especially when you're doing chores and you're trying to multitask. So, yeah, they're pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And don't forget, we had Jake the Snake on earlier, and his books, he's got three books coming out probably, folks. He's got a huge book chronicling his entire life and career, and it's probably going to be cut, like you said, into three separate books, and they will more than likely, can't guarantee it, but more than likely be available on audiobook. And TLD, man, have you had any experiences with audiobooks?
Actually, I already have audiobooks already. I actually have Steve Jobs' book, and today I actually looked up Mick Foley's on audible.com. So I didn't see any of the Mankind ones. I saw Tatum Brown. I didn't see anything else. I didn't even see Lex Luger's. I couldn't find it. I was looking around for some wrestlers. But actually, I stopped my membership today only because I did the free trial. I like it. I think it's good for people who really need to, don't like reading. I'm not a reader. I don't like reading. To me, it's like I can't visualize anything. But, you know, bring up a good point about if you're on the road and you got a long day of traveling, you know, audiobooks are just a great way to, you know, just listen and captivate. And, you know, it's just like podcasting is. To me, audiobooks is just another form of audio podcasting. And you can listen to a whole book, you know, it'll take you like a good couple of days, but, you know, you'll get through the whole thing and you'll enjoy it. I think it's better than reading. You know, people don't have time to read from the morning. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Well, yeah, and that's what you're saying, TLD. You're telling people right now, on the air live, to head over to audibletrial.com/PWP radio and sign up for a 30-day free trial, right?
That's exactly what I'm saying. And eventually, when the TLD book is released, you know for damn sure I will be doing an Audible audiobook for you fans. But, of course, it's going to cost you quite a penny to get it.
Okay, so once again, last time, head over to audibletrial.com/PWP radio for not only a free audiobook, but a 30-day free trial. And don't forget to include that /PWP radio, audibletrial.com/PWP radio. Let's pay the bills, folks. All right, guys, big show tonight, and before we continue, I just want to go back to a topic that we talked about last week, and that was our time with, and you know, I'm gonna bring Midge in, Brett, who was also a member of Wrestling Roundtable. I'm not gonna talk. I'm not gonna reiterate what I thought about the show.
Uh-oh.
And what I did. You can go back and listen to it. It's on YouTube in its entirety. You can go back and listen to it at youtube.com/PWPowerhouseTV. Yeah, iTunes, all that stuff. You can go back and listen. But Brett was a big part of the Wrestling Roundtable, and he was, you know, one of the best friends, I guess, of Mr. Santa Maria himself. So, Brett, you're back on the show, man, and you kind of wanted to talk a little bit about your experience on Wrestling Roundtable and what's going on with that now. You want to talk a little bit about that, Brett?
Yeah, say a little bit about that. First off, TLD,
when you write your book, I will be more than happy to write and narrate your forward for you. So you got that from me there, buddy.
Oh, my God, man. You are, like, so awesome, man. I love you, man. You're always a great time, man. We don't hang up enough. You know, but you did buy a lot of TLD merchandise. I know you did that. I saw my account bills. I know you bought a lot.
Yeah, you know, I like to spread the wealth around the homeless. Like, that's the kind of guy I am.
Yeah, that's sexy, man. Thank you.
But back to the whole reason that I even know these guys, the Wrestling Roundtable. Basically, I listened to last week's rant. I agreed with most of what Jay said, but I was like, you know what? I haven't heard from Eric in a while. Let me see where I stand. I go on Facebook. He unfriended me. Like, wow, that's kind of weird. I see a link to the documentary that Rodney did. All these interviews with the originals and people on the roundtable behind the scenes. Left off of that, too. I was kind of just left in the dust for unknown even reasons. I have no idea what's even going on. And it's kind of weird. It's a little upsetting, but hey, life goes on, and the future here is PWP Radio and everything Jay's got going on, so,
you know. And Brett, I'll tell you what, man, your talents were used pretty well with Wrestling Roundtable in the fact that you did great interviews, backstage interviews with various wrestlers. You're very quick-witted and stuff like that. And I want to announce to everybody that Brett Midge is joining our team, and he will be with us in February 22nd at PWS, and he'll be one of our new interview guys. So you know how if you watch our videos on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse TV, we all get in on the action. It's not just the J Show or the TLD Show. I spread the wealth between the members of the team. I have everybody do interviews with different guys and fans and whatnot, and you're going to help us out, Brett, and I really appreciate that, and it'll be great having you on Team PWP.
It's awesome. I appreciate the opportunity to get back into business. Honestly, I missed it like hell. Made a couple of great friends, including you guys and some of the guys from Ring of Honor, Justin, Alex Payne, and Shane Hagedorn, and Mia Yim, and Jenny Rose, and I still talk to these people, and it's just hard to reach out and, you know, get together with everybody. But now that Jay's being, you know, so proactive and becoming so successful, he's given us another opportunity to take a second crack at it, and I'm really appreciative of it. I'm going to try my best to give him everything I got.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate that as well. And if you talk to anybody who's a member of my squad, I like the team atmosphere thing. I'm not a dictator. I don't take things overly serious. We're moving everything in a positive direction, kind of expanding the brand little by little. Rome was not built overnight, and we're not going to build this overnight either. So we'll slowly but surely get the name out there and build subscribers, build followers, build visitors to the website on a daily consistent basis. And I need all the help I can get. So thank you so much, Brett, for joining Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. It's an honor to have you on the team, bro.
I'm in 100%.
Beautiful. And you'll be getting your little care package for buying a T-shirt soon. I just have to, with the holiday season happening right now and everything going on, it's just going to take me a little bit to get that together. But you'll be getting in the mail. Don't worry.
As long as it includes some TLD merchandise, I'll be happy.
Well, Brett, thank you so much, man. And I'm going to let you go now, but feel free to call in and join the show in the future. We're scheduled for 2 hours tonight, but I'm probably going to cut us off a little bit early because I really want to watch the season finale of Sons of Anarchy, to be honest, and get my ass to bed a little bit early. So thanks so much, bro.
Good, cool. All right, buddy. See you soon. Take it easy.
Thanks, brother. And hook us up with that interview with Mia Yim. I love Mia Yim. We got to get her on the line. She's awesome. Very hot.
She's going to be at that show on Saturday, so I'm going to work on her.
All right, brother. Thanks so much, man. Have a good night.
Take it easy.
All right. That was Brett Midge, and he was also a member of Wrestling Roundtable with us, TLD, and he had some kind words to say, and he's the newest member of Pro Wrestling Powerhouse, so he'll be joining us. I'm giving you this information now for the first time, TLD. He'll be joining us on February 22nd at PWS, so it'll be a bit of a reunion.
Yeah, man, thanks for keeping me in the loop on all the different plans you're making that require me to edit or yet film the shows. So thank you very much for doing that. But on a positive note, because we're a positive show, I'm almost tearing that Brett is joining us. In fact, I'll be I'm going to go to bed tonight and be a happy man.
Awesome. Yeah, it's going to be the future is bright here on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. But I'm going to
come positive.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not going to talk too much tonight. We're going to have kind of a short, abbreviated show. We really wanted to put the focus on that Jake the Snake Roberts interview, and we absolutely did that. But we have a big pay-per-view coming up this coming Sunday. That's WWE TLC, and the biggest match in a long time. And I don't care if you're a fan of John Cena, Randy Orton, or not. It's the spectacle of it. It's the story. It's professional wrestling, and it doesn't get much bigger than this. The first time there's been a TLC match with a unification on the line for the world titles, and it's kind of a funny story that it's happening right now. It's pretty much like 12 years to the day almost that it happened with Chris Jericho back in 2001. So I want some predictions and insight, and we'll get to that match in a moment. But let's start with a little bit of previewing the card and giving our predictions. Toph, I know you're back and forth in WWE. Sometimes you're a fan, sometimes you're not. But overall, you're a wrestling fan. That's what it's all about. And this TLC card, you know, it's not great on paper. Doesn't look like $1 million. But they have matches that can kind of dictate the future of the company. And let's talk a little bit about Big E Langston versus Damian Sandow. Toph, break that down for me. Who do you think is going to win and why?
I'm sure Big E is going to win because he just won the title. You want to keep the momentum fresh. But at the same time, they're trying to raise Damian Sandow's stock. So regardless of who wins, this feud will continue for a few more months. Probably maybe as far as WrestleMania, but at least for 2 months. But I think Big E's going over, and that's pretty much all I got to say about that match.
Yeah, it's a pretty it's one of those deals where I wouldn't mind if they switched the title back and forth a couple times. You know, that strategy has worked in the past to kind of build feuds up. You know, if the babyface holding the title, the heel gets it, and then you let the babyface chase. Big E didn't have much of a chase. He kind of won that strap out of the blue. So maybe we'll see something like that happen. Either way, I think that Big E Langston retains at this show. Would not be shocked if they do another one, you know, if they do another match in the future, like you said. TLD, what are your thoughts here? Big E Langston versus Damian Sandow, Intercontinental Championship on the line.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Big E's going to retain the title. He needs a lot of steam going forward as the Intercontinental Champion, but they really need to, you know, try to make Big E look like a really, really big star. I hope I'm really looking for. I mean, Damian Sandow, I'm sure he needs something else to go forward. I'm not too sure what, you know, he's going to do, but I'm sure Big E's going to retain the title. There's not too much more to say. I think he'll pretty much got everything what he needs to say.
All right. Next match on the card is, let's go backwards. Let's go to the kickoff match with Dolph Ziggler once again on the pre-show, taking on Fandango. And many mixed reactions from Dolph Ziggler nowadays. I mean, he's still obviously way over with the crowd. However, I don't know if he's got nuclear heat or what, but he has been segregated to this lower mid-card thing for a while. And I guess they have a little bit of faith in him to kind of kick the show off with some kind of excitement. But Toph, your thoughts on Dolph Ziggler versus Fandango? How'd you get to the
I actually had no idea this was even. Is this part of the pay-per-view or is it a pre-show?
It's the pre-show. It's the kickoff match.
Okay, I wasn't even aware of this match. No idea what they're doing with Ziggler. Yeah, he's in the doghouse. Don't know what he did, but he's in the doghouse. But I don't see a reason why he's not going to win. Fandango, for the most part, is mostly fighting. He mostly works with not necessarily jobbers, but Fandango, for the most part, works with low undercard guys. So I don't see a reason why Ziggler won't win here. This will more than likely just be a match to excite the crowd and get them pumped. You know, they always have, you know, these type of matches for the pre-show. The idea of it is just to get the crowd pumped up, but I don't see why Ziggler wouldn't win here, so I'll just pick Ziggler here.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Ziggler as well. Fandango did have a good match with Daniel Bryan on Raw last night. Definitely a solid contest there. But I'm not going to lie. I fell asleep a little bit during Raw. I don't even know if Ziggler was on the show. I don't remember seeing him. He should have probably won a Slammy for biggest surprise moment or whatever, but did not do it. But I'm going to pick Ziggler to go over Fandango on the kickoff show. TLD, your thoughts?
I'll go with Dolph Ziggler winning. I mean, I definitely think the pre-shows are still fun matches. They get some time to do some good stuff on it. And I think it's going to be entertaining between the two. I'm sure they've fought before many times, but, you know, there's not much to develop between the two of them right now. I think it's a shame that last year that Dolph Ziggler was the main event and this year he's on the pre-show.
Yeah.
Kind of like the
Miz. Yeah, exactly. We don't really know what happened there with Ziggler, but either way, you know, the pre-show is one of those deals where I'm not against it. I don't think it's a bad thing at all. I think it's actually probably better than being in the middle of the card on a pay-per-view. The pre-show gets the fans into it. And like at Money in the Bank that we were at TLD, that pre-show match they had with the Shield against the Usos really pumped up the crowd. That was a great match. So there's always that possibility that the show stealer or one of the show stealers could be on the pre-show. So I don't think it'll be a bad match whatsoever. But I see Ziggler. Ziggler, you know, the guy's got to continue to work hard and continue to get over and continue to get that reaction. Because, again, it's a marathon, not a sprint. Don't know what he did. Don't know why he's in the proverbial doghouse. But hopefully he gets his ass out of there soon because the guy's too talented to be trapped. Next match on the card is the current reigning Divas champion. I've been saying it for a long time that she's awesome and she's proving it week after week. AJ Lee continuing to make her presence felt in the WWE. Now, she is defending against Natalya, Natty Neidhart, who is a star on Total Diva. I know for a fact that, and I keep my eyes on the message boards and on Twitter, and I'm seeing that most of the women who watch that show really like Natalya. They really like her because she comes off not as a catty, like supermodel. She comes off as a real woman. And that's what people like about her, and her stock is definitely rising. She's one of the couple stars on that show. So I don't know, man. It's a tough call to see who's going to win the Divas title match. But, Toph, break it down for me. Who do you got in this match?
Someone from Total Divas has to become Divas champion at some point because they keep promoting it. I believe Total Divas has been confirmed for season 2. That's correct, right?
Yeah, it's been confirmed, man. That show's not going anywhere. It does great ratings.
Right, right. So, you know, sooner or later, there's going to be a person from Total Divas that's going to become a Divas champion. It's inevitable. So, you know, if anything, Natalya is the best person to do it. I remember reading reports a while back where they were saying that I was reading reports that WWE was disappointed that Brie Bella was not getting you know, the type of reactions that they wanted, and my response to that is that she's improved her in-ring work, but they haven't really done anything to make the Bella characters, you know, relatable to the audience, other than the fact of using Total Divas, revealing that they're both dating John Cena and Daniel Bryan, which is all well and good, but you got to do more than that to make the fans invest, and I think Natalya, fans like Natalya. She comes from the Hart Dynasty, as you said. She gives off the vibe of a real woman. She doesn't come off as catty or fake. You know, she's, you know, married to TJ, the whole cat thing. She's very likable. She's been around for a while. And not only that, but she's a very relatable character because in Total Divas, while all the other divas are, you know, out on the, you know, at the big parties and stuff, she's always, like, relegated to interviewing and, you know, doing the work. So a lot of people can relate to that. And, you know, so I think it's time for AJ Lee to finally drop the title. She's had it long enough, so I'm going for Natalya here.
Yeah, I think AJ will have a long run, actually. I think her tag team or whatever partnership with Tamina is kind of a focal point right now. I don't know where it's heading, but I think eventually it'll head towards kind of a Shawn Michaels Diesel type of breakup where Tamina actually turns on AJ and pursues that title. And I actually think that that'll be the time when AJ drops it to Tamina because, you know, that's what I think they're building up to. So I'm going to pick AJ in this match, and I think Tamina is going to be involved some way, somehow, to screw over Natty. But I do think that there's always that possibility that WrestleMania 30 will be, since Total Divas is now such a hit, I think they'll use WrestleMania 30 as another way to promote the show And they'll definitely have it on the program when season two comes around. So I'm saying that Natty loses, AJ wins, and somehow Natty gets the championship at WrestleMania 30, on or around WrestleMania 30. We'll see what happens, though. TLD, your thoughts here on AJ Lee defending. I think she's 40 days or 39 days away from being the longest reigning Divas champion of all time. So AJ Lee versus Natty, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good to see two natural wrestlers in the ring. You know, again, it's a good point where Natty's just a naturally, you know, person to like. You know, someone, you know, honestly, I'm glad she did the show because she needed something to go on for it. I'm sure it's not her cup of tea to do something like that, but face it, if it wasn't for the show, she wouldn't be on TV. And that's why she's on the show. She's kind of reintroducing her, you know, character, her lifestyle. She's naturally someone to like. You know, it's hard to hate her with everything that's been going on, you know, in her career after not being pushed to be in any matches, to being like a babysitter to a lot of these divas. And now she's finally getting that spotlight. And she's just a naturally great wrestler. And I'm hoping that she does win. You know, but yeah, it could look good for the show either way. You know, no matter which Total Diva wins a championship, but I would say AJ could retain it. They might save that for another bigger moment. But we'll see. I mean, again, it's like a 50-50 split. I don't think it matters, because I won't be upset who wins.
Oh, yeah, awesome. I can agree with that as well. I just think there's some money and there's something to be made of an eventual AJ Tamina showdown in the future. Now we get to the handicap matches of the night, which is odd booking. I thought for sure that they would somehow, some way, involve maybe the Usos in one of the matches to make it a 3-on-3, or involve maybe the Rhodes or something like that, you know, to kind of even the odds a little bit and have a couple 6-man tags on the show. Why not, you know? But it looks like we're going to have two handicap matches. Daniel Bryan takes on the Wyatt family 3-on-1 handicap match. Not really sure where they're going with this. If you watched Raw last night, you can kind of see that they're setting the stage for another big Daniel Bryan push. Like I said weeks ago on the show, they took their foot off the gas, and as WrestleMania season starts approaching, they're going to freaking put their foot back on that gas, full throttle, full speed ahead with Daniel Bryan. And the same with CM Punk. Same exact thing. I said it. You guys may or may not have agreed with me. I don't remember. But it was always the right move to kind of pull back a little bit. When a wrestler is that hot, there's no reason to just continue to just like hot shot it and just give it to the fans right away. And I wish I could have talked to Jake about this. He would have agreed with me that it's all about the chase and the suspense. And I'm going to use, I think Raven one time said it was like jerking off, where like, you know, you don't want to just blow your load right away. You kind of want to wait, hold it back a little bit before you do that. I'm not sure if the sponsors are going to be happy with me saying that, but it's the truth. So I don't know what's going to happen with this match. I guess by default, by the odds that are stacked, I want to pick the Wyatts, but I'm not going to because Daniel Bryan hasn't really lost that many matches since SummerSlam. I think he's lost a total of 4 matches or 5 matches by my calculations, and that's really nothing. So I'm going to pick Daniel Bryan to somehow overcome the odds and win this match. Toph, what are your thoughts?
I'm going with the Wyatt family because it doesn't matter if Bryan wins or loses. He's over regardless. So I'm going with the Wyatt family here.
Do you think it's more important now to build the Wyatt family up as credible heels and stuff like that than for Bryan to win this pay-per-view match?
I don't think it matters for Bryan. I think he's over regardless. I think that Bryan's reached that point where it doesn't matter if he wins or loses. The fans are chanting his name during segments that he has absolutely nothing to do with. So I'm choosing the Wyatt family, not because I have faith in them or because they should be established as heels. I'm choosing the Wyatt family because I just don't think Daniel Bryan losing really hurts anything at this point because it's 3-on-1, so the odds are against him on paper anyway. And they won, him and Punk won the match at Survivor Series, so the Wyatt family has got to get a one-up on him for that. And I just don't think that Daniel Bryan losing is really going to hurt him because from what I'm seeing, he's getting positive reactions regardless.
No, yeah, great point. Great point there. Daniel Bryan, there's no way that his character right now can lose momentum. Everybody said that, you know, WWE was trying to intentionally bury him and stuff. They were truly buying into this storyline with Triple H and the Authority, and that just was never the case. It's just the fact that they're waiting. They're waiting for WrestleMania to give him the biggest pop of his life. And you know that entire crowd is going to be chanting yes, yes, yes with him when he either wins the WWE title again or Unified Championship, whatever it's going to be, or makes Triple H tap out, whatever's going to happen at WrestleMania 30, or even Shawn Michaels. I don't know what's going on with that. But whatever happens, Daniel Bryan will have the biggest moment of his career at WrestleMania 30. It's just a matter of time. TLD, man, you think that this match kind of is more significant for the Wyatts than it is Daniel Bryan, and who do you think is going to win?
Yeah, I think I definitely see it being more the Wyatts getting the rub. It's a good point Toph makes where this guy is going to be open regardless. He's fighting three guys. I mean, you got to think of reality here. If you were in an alley against three guys, are you going to win that match? Unless you are like a Brock Lesnar, there's no way in hell you could probably beat up three guys. You know, it's just not – it doesn't make any sense, you know, for that to happen. Unless – when we talk about the next handicap match, but it just doesn't make any sense. If you know, it would look, the Wyatts would look so bad if they can't beat one guy. So that's why psychology-wise and just match-wise and just if we want to make wrestling look real, in quotations, then the Wyatts have to win that match.
Yeah, I'm not sure how he's going to overcome the odds, but I'm going to pick Daniel Bryan. I just think somehow, some way, he's going to do it. And another one is CM Punk versus The Shield. And this is another case where how in the blue hell is CM Punk going to overcome the odds? Well, in this case, I think we're starting to see The Shield start to, you know, crack a little bit. And we saw a little bit of a tease last night during the Slammy Awards when The Shield was out there and they were going to give away a Slammy. And Dean Ambrose inexplicably cut off Roman Reigns while he was talking. And the look that Roman shot Ambrose was brutal. It was just Diesel looking at Shawn Michaels in 1993 or 1994, whatever it was. I think it was 94. Diesel looking at Shawn Michaels in 94 saying, hey, buddy, watch what you say to me because I'm bigger than you and can kick your ass. Maybe 95. I don't remember the years. Those years kind of gel together. So it was one of those deals to me. And there's always that possibility that this can kind of cause CM Punk to win the match. Again, I don't necessarily see why you're booking 3-on-1 handicap matches on a pay-per-view if the babyface isn't going to win, you know, because I ultimately think that, well, we'll get to the main event in a minute, but I'm just going to pick CM Punk because I think there's some way, somehow, he's going to overcome the odds in this match, just like he did against Ryback and Curtis Axel and stuff in the past. Toph, your thoughts, CM Punk versus The Shield?
I've been saying this for a while now. It's only a matter of time before Roman Reigns accidentally spears Dean Ambrose and not showing any sympathy about it. And I think if this is going to happen in any match, it's going to happen at TLC. It's going to happen eventually. He's going to spear one of the members of The Shield. It hasn't happened yet. We see it all the time in every faction. You know, it's like as soon as it happens, that's when you know it's done, when they accidentally hit their finisher on someone else. But I'm going to pick CM Punk here simply because there's got to be a balance, you know. I think we'll know what happens depending on which match goes first. If Daniel Bryan wins against the Wyatt family, then I think The Shield is going to win. And if the Wyatt family wins against Daniel Bryan, then I think that CM Punk is going to beat The Shield. I just don't see both Punk and Bryan going over here. So since I picked the Wyatt family, I'm going to pick CM Punk. I think somehow he'll win this match. But, you know, if he wins, it'll be via, like, you know, outsmarting or something, you know, something like around those lines.
Yeah, I see one of these two matches opening the show, actually. I think that would be a smart thing to do. Spread them out on the card a little bit since they're practically identical. You know, TLD, man, break it down for me. What are your thoughts on the overcoming CM Punk possibly overcoming the odds against The Shield?
Well, again, back to the same scenario. It doesn't make sense, especially for these guys who have been a team for a long time and are a lot, you know, just as big or, you know, stronger in a lot of people's eyes. The Shield's a lot stronger than the Wyatts. You know, CM Punk can't possibly win. And even CM Punk, when he was given his promo, he definitely says, I'm not going to win this match. There's no way I could possibly win. The odds are not even near me. But with all the dissension going on lately with what's going on with The Shield and the way that Roman Reigns is being built up, You know, you could see Roman Reigns coming out of this as a face by just taking out Dean Ambrose, you know, just based on what's been going on. You know, so if two members of that Shield walk away from him, you know, you could definitely see that Punk could win this match, and that's why I think they're building it up. So I definitely will go with CM Punk on this one.
All right, so we got an agreement across the board there on CM Punk beating the Shield. Now let's get down to the big one, which had a great, great build last night on Monday Night Raw. I see some people who are just will hate whatever WWE does no matter what. Certain people I argue with on Twitter nonstop about John Cena are somehow, some way burying this end of the show, this final build for TLC, which I thought was gold. I thought it was great. It was exciting. It was fun. It was unpredictable. You didn't know what was going to happen. It was one of the best build-ups to a pay-per-view in a long time. And, of course, John Cena does cut these promos from time to time where he, you know, kind of shoots a little bit, so to speak, and does they're a little stereotypical when it comes to John Cena. But if CM Punk does this, hey, it's a pipe bomb, everybody. He just dropped a pipe bomb. That's essentially what Cena did last night on Randy Orton, bringing up real life, what's the word I'm looking for? I guess real life issues that Randy Orton has had throughout his WWE run. You know, it's like he's had everything in his favor, and time again, like you'll agree with me, Toph, you're not a big Orton fan, time and time again, he somehow, some way ends up screwing it up or boring the fans. I've always been a fan of Randy Orton. When I first saw the guy, I said, that guy looks like $1 million. He's going to be a big star. And, you know, I was right, but it was obvious. He had that groundwork laid out for him. So the same thing about Cena. Worked out for him too. But this match, you can't deny the fact that it's going to be one of the biggest matches in professional wrestling history, but it all depends on the finish. It really does. If we get a screwy, bullshit type of finish, which is probably going to happen, then it's not going to have that lasting effect like it should. Although, if you guys remember, when Chris Jericho unified the titles, it was also a bullshit finish. You know, the NWO was involved, not the NWO, excuse me. Kurt Angle was involved. It was BS, you know. It was a screw job all the way. So, or Booker T, was it Kurt Angle? Booker T was involved? Yeah, whatever. Yeah, it was Booker T. That's right. Anyway, there's going to be something that happens here that will screw up this finish. My pick, I'll do it first before I kick it over to Toph. My pick for this match is Randy Orton, because not only have they invested a lot of time in building him up as a heel, but they are teasing the John Cena heel turn that a lot of people want. That's your hook. That's what sells pay-per-views. People actually believe that John Cena might turn heel. I was on Twitter last night, and immediately, as soon as that segment was over, throwing out that John Cena heel turn scenario, I don't see it happening. But as long as that possibility is there, as long as people think that it's going to happen, whether you're going to stream it or whether you're going to actually order the show, you're going to watch because you want to see this happen live. You don't want to hear about it, you know, 10 minutes after the show or on Twitter or on Facebook or anything else. You want to see it happen if it's going to. With all that being said, I don't see that happening. I do see Randy Orton prevailing, being the new unified champion, and holding that strap until WrestleMania, where he finally puts somebody over, whether it's CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, or whoever, for it. And that's my take on it. I think it's going to be a huge match. I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to exceed the expectations of the very, very hard-to-please internet wrestling community. And you know, we just got to wait and see. So, Toph, man, your thoughts. Break it down for me.
Orton's going over. That's really all I got to say about it. It's too bad that Vince Russo is not around, because he would have a field day with this pay-per-view from top to bottom. But, yeah, other than that, Orton's going over. That's all.
Yeah, you know, the only thing about that Raw, the end of Raw that I would have loved to see is when Daniel Bryan knocked the shit out of Shawn Michaels. I would have loved if Bret Hart just kind of got in the ring and just hooked the sharpshooter on him for old time's sake. That would have been fucking great.
That would have made like the biggest pop ever.
Yeah, if somehow the ring cleared and like Shawn Michaels was just laying there and Bret Hart just walks in the ring and he's like, fuck it, and just puts the sharpshooter on him. Oh, man. That would have been – you want to talk about a moment. That would have been great. TLD, man.
Oh, man, that was great.
Break it down, TLD. Cena versus Orton, your thoughts.
Yeah, last night was a great way to hook everybody into that show, I think. You know, honestly, to me, the way they were to bring up the importance of it, I think they honestly should just do it in a way where I think we should have a finish and that should be it. You know, even though Chris Jericho won 12 years ago, he still stayed the champion. He didn't lose the title. Or maybe they'll have the rematch at the Royal Rumble. I think Cena should walk into Mania as a champion. I think if they have a face of John Cena as the main event and honestly have Daniel Bryan or CM Punk be one of the guys against them, I think that'd be a great WrestleMania match of two faces against each other. I know we've done that with The Rock and John Cena, but I think Cena's got to lose at WrestleMania to a big-name opponent. And I think Orton's not big enough to, you know, make it convincing. I think even though he's got this whole power trip behind him, I think Cena has to lose to somebody at WrestleMania to build the next face for the WWE. And it has to be either Daniel Bryan or CM Punk. You know, and based on the way they're going, you know, Daniel Bryan seems to be the choice now. A little unfair last night. He was in his home state, so you got to give that, you know, leeway to him a little bit, that he was in his home state, you know, or not too far away from it. But, you know, they planted some seeds for John Cena and Daniel Bryan to fight each other because he'll give him the rematch without the authorities' approval. They know he doesn't care. You know, and he stuck to his guns last night. And to me, it sold the importance of the match, but also that it proves that Randy Orton, even though people seem to like Randy, a lot of people really just don't like Randy, and he's got his Orton name has gotten him to where he is. Meanwhile, right away Cena brings up a guy like Daniel Bryan who had nobody to fight for him. He had nobody. His last name means nothing in wrestling. He's the first. So I'm hoping that. I also want Cena to win the match because I think it means more important that for Cena to win. You know, if they do the screw job finish, I think Cena still will have that title, you know, or are they going to make a new title? Because as we know today, WrestleMania was announced. They used the new logo that they were using for WWE Network. So I'm wondering if a new belt might come into play or maybe not. I don't know. But, you know, to me, I think at the end of the day, John Cena needs to walk in as WrestleMania as a champion.
All right, that remains to be seen what happens. I personally think John Cena is a big enough spectacle on his own without the strap, but you bring up some valid points, and this match is taking an entire era right now, and they're calling it the Universe Era, and it's bringing it all to a head at TLC. The end of 2013, we will have, hopefully, a brand-new unified champion of WWE, and once again, I want to tell everybody to please, check out audibletrial.com/PWP radio. If you want to listen to it, Audible has it with over 150,000 titles and virtually every genre out there. You will find what you are looking for. Get a free audiobook and a free 30-day trial today by signing up at audibletrial.com/PWP radio. Don't forget the damn backslash. audibletrial.com/PWP radio. Sign up today for a free audiobook and free 30-day trial. So final words, guys, on tonight's show. We're going to wrap it up right now. Toph, final words on tonight's show.
Actually, there's one thing I forgot to add on the Orton Cena thing. Do you mind?
No, absolutely not. Go for it.
Since it's a unification match, maybe I'm thinking a little too old school here. Actually, the real reason I was choosing Orton is I'm choosing him for marketing reasonings, because if this truly is a unification, then the winner of the match has the other belt absorbed into it. So both of the titles were hung above the ring at the end of the segment, and the big message was this is the last time that we'll see the WWE title and the World Heavyweight Championship together at the same time. So the next time that we see a champion, it's just going to be one belt. So based off this, if John Cena was to win, since he is the World Heavyweight Champion, then that would mean the WWE title would be absorbed into the World Heavyweight Championship. And if Randy Orton wins, then the World Heavyweight Championship would be absorbed into the WWE title, so on and so forth. So based on that, since they just released the new WWE title earlier this year, and since it's selling well, I can't see John Cena winning, because it wouldn't make sense from a marketing standpoint for the World Heavyweight Championship to, you know, basically be the only belt left. Now, who knows what they'll do? Maybe they'll do what Chris Jericho did. Maybe the person will have both championships, but they made it pretty clear that's the last time we're going to see both titles. So, you know, we all took it different ways, because the way I'm taking this, the person's going to win a match, the person will have both titles, but then the next night on Raw, it's just going to be one belt. So just based off that, I'm picking Orton, because I think from a marketing standpoint, it would make more sense for them to use the WWE title. So I don't know if any of that made any sense, so that's why I'm picking Orton.
No, it makes perfect sense to me as well. I think it's got everything to do with marketing. And that belt, that new WWE title is not going to only last less than a year. Let's just be honest here. They're not going to debut that thing with The Rock of all people and then just have it last 1 year. I mean, that Undisputed Championship that came out after Jericho, I guess, won, and then Triple H got it, whatever the hell, that Undisputed title only lasted, 2 years before John Cena debuted a new one? But they're not going to have this one last for less than a year. It's just not going to happen. This title is awesome. It's a big deal, and I think that's, you know, the marketing has everything to do with it. But I pick Orton for that reason and other reasons as well. TLD, man, final thoughts tonight on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. And, hey, are you doing a post-show this coming Sunday or what?
Dude, of course I'm doing a post-show. Why would we not have a post-show? It is the biggest night in professional wrestling history. How the hell can we not have a post-show?
I can't answer that. But final thoughts tonight on the show, brother.
Of course we're going to be doing a post-show on that night, 11 p.m. Check it out. I will be hosting Toast. You're usually my co-host. You're going to be on the show, sir?
Yes, I will call in, and we will host it together.
All right. I love Tope. He is like the co-host of co-hosts besides me. But anyway, I am happy to interview tonight. I'm really looking forward to TLC. I'm looking forward to a good pay-per-view to end the year. And then right after that, for PWP, we have the end-of-the-year awards that we'll be shooting something. We have to shoot something. But if not, anyway, I'm looking forward to it. And, Jay, make sure people are voting.
All right, absolutely. And once again, check us out, ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. Please visit the site. We have had some great articles go up recently spotlighting NXT talent from Bayley to Tyler Breeze. Bill Shannon penned these two articles, sent them out to Bayley and Tyler Breeze, and both talents retweeted them to their followers and commented back that they liked them and enjoyed the articles. So we're starting this new NXT initiative over on ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. There's also some great opinionated stories. We talk about AJ Styles' contract that is set to expire actually next week, and we'll talk about that on the show next week. And we're also hoping next week right here on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio to have Bruce Hart on. It'll be December 17th, and we should have Bruce Hart back for a short spot. And we will announce, finally, the winner of the Hart Brothers University scholarship that we are giving away through ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com and through Bruce Hart. So hopefully next week he'll join us here on the show, not guaranteeing anything, but because I haven't gotten the confirmation yet. But hopefully we'll be able to choose the winner next week here live. And I'd like to once again thank Jake the Snake Roberts. It was an absolute awesome interview tonight. I enjoyed it. It's going to be up on YouTube, Stitcher Radio, iTunes, right here on blogtalkradio.com/PWP Radio. Follow him at JakeSnakeDDT and go to JakeTheSnakeRoberts.com. Check out the first episode of Snake Radio. And thanks so much, everybody, for being on the show. Thanks to Toph. Thanks to Brett Simonello, our newest member of Team PWP, for calling in. And thanks so much to TLD, as always. This is Jersey Strong Jay Aletto signing off. Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio episode number 64. Keep it real, everybody.
Hard at WrestleMania. You know, Jake Roberts, I'm well aware that you're familiar with the dark side, but are you familiar with the inside of a casket?
Oh, that's real funny, Gene.
You know, what a wicked web we can weave when first we labor to deceive. Now, what I'm telling you is this. I've always said I was on the other side of the fence, and I ask you, oh, yeah, it's where you were at, too. You're right with me. You can't ride the edge, brother, like I can. That razor's too sharp for you. So you think about this. WrestleMania, I'm going to get what I want.
You know, I was absolutely appalled, Jake the Snake Roberts, when during the course of the funeral parlor with Paul Bear, all of a sudden, you took that steel chair and continued time and time again to pummel the back of the Undertaker.
Well, let's don't forget the fun part. Now, the fun part was slamming his hand in that casket and locking it. You see right there, you're a big rat caught in a big trap. Now, as far as me hammering you with that chair, brother, oh, yeah, I raised that chair up high and I cranked it. And you know something? It felt good. It felt real good. Almost as good as slapping Elizabeth. Almost. But you see, that simple foreplay, man, look at this. Watch it now. Time and time and time again, it's like teasing, you know? Hanging the meat out in front of the animal, that's all I was doing. I tasted it, but I didn't finish it. I will finish it when the time is right. Nothing premature here. I'm waiting. I'm waiting for the right time, and the right time's the Hoosier Dome. That's where it all comes apart. So crushing you with that chair was just child's play for me. Because you comes to WrestleMania, I don't play, brother. I will not play. So when the time is right, I will hook that DDT, and I'll crack your skull the same way they would on National Geographic, Gene. Nothing different. If there was a medal awarded in the Olympics for crushing seals' heads, baby seals on the ice, I would take the gold. I would take the gold. Why? It's a job that has to be done. It is a job that has to be done. And you are a job that has to be done, Undertaker. So when the time is right, yes, I'm going to hook the head and drive it straight through the mat. Big circle, big dot, that's going through. Then what will I do? Put you on the funeral pyre, brother, and turn up the gas. And if you say you know Satan so well, then you won't mind burning in hell.